ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the 7th canto, chapter 15th, text number 79. Krishna partha upamantriya pujitah prayayau munihi shrutva krishnam param brahma partha parama vismitah. Klishan. Narad Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhishthir, bade them farewell and went away. Yudhishthir Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. Purport. After hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhishthir, if one still has any doubt about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should immediately give them up. Asamshayam samagramam. Without any doubt and without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus surrender at his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this even after hearing all the Vedas. But if one is fortunate, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanvan mam prapadyate. Hare Krishna. Because there's no purport to that, and it's the end of the section. Iti dakshayaninam, iti dakshayaninam te prithag vamsah prakirtitaha deva sura manushyadya loka yatra chara charaha. Translation and purport by translation. On all the planets within the universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them and their different dynasties. End of the 7th canto. So, beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees. I have no personal qualifications to speak, but I'm just trying to repeat. I have no realizations on many of the things which I'll be speaking today. But as a messenger, as a postman giving the message to all of you, it's for my own purification. So I beg the blessings of all the devotees. Hare Krishna. So the episode is that Narad Muni is coming to Yudhishthir Maharaj and enlightening him about, or reminding him again about, the divinity of this personality, that is Shri Krishna. And Maharaj Yudhishthir, after hearing this, he becomes very amazed. So in the Mahabharata, there is another episode, because during the duration of the life of the Pandavas, there has been many such episodes where the sages have come and reminded Yudhishthir about the divinity of Shri Krishna. Not divinity, in fact, him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the Mahabharata, there is a episode of the Pandavas, excluding Arjun, because he was in the heavenly planets. And the Pandavas were on exile, Vanvas. So they had gone to the abode of Kuir, and they had lived there for 5 years. After they had finished their tenure there, they decided that they will come down. Because in the abode of Kuir, there was so much of opulence that the Pandavas felt that we will become so comfortable that we may forget our enmity towards Duryodhan and the Kauravas. And our vengeful attitude may get dissolved. So we should keep reminding ourselves of what we have gone through, what injustices have occurred on us. So they come down, leaving Kuira's abode. And they are waiting for Arjun to come back from the heavenly planets after having acquired the celestial weapons from Indra and all the other demigods. So while they were sitting, at that time Markandeya Rishi, he comes. And all the assembled sages, they immediately bow down to this great sage who is the senior most and the most advanced in age as compared to anyone else existing at that time. This Markandeya Rishi was living since many days of Brahma, for millions of years, and he has seen many dissolution, cosmic dissolution, and the creation of the universe. So the Pandavas welcome him with great awe and reverence, give him a seat. And it is explained in the Mahabharata that Markandeya, even though he was the oldest person, he was still as young as a 16-year-old boy. Very young and beautiful. So this Markandeya Rishi, he looks around into the assembly and he sees thousands and thousands of sages and rishis who are sitting there to hear now what Markandeya is going to speak and what Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to ask him. So Yudhishthir Maharaj welcomes him and tells him, you know, to please speak something about spiritual life. And Markandeya Rishi explains that how once when the cosmic dissolution took place, at that time, all the planetary systems were covered and covered over by the water of cosmic dissolution. And how he was floating in the waves of the waters of dissolution for many, many thousands and millions of years, when he finds the leaf, a banyan tree leaf, and he finds a young boy, a small young child sleeping on the, lying down on that leaf of the banyan tree. And he's sucking his own toe. And he was wondering that how such a beautiful looking child, what an amazing, attractive, small child could have survived such a huge cosmic annihilation. And he's wondering like this. And he thought, let me go a little close by. And he went inside. And that small boy spoke to him and told him, you appear to be very tired. Why didn't you come inside me and take rest? And no sooner did he do that, he entered into the mouth of the small child. And inside he finds huge mountains, all the planetary systems, the Gandharvas, the heavenly planets, and the human beings and everyone he finds. And he finds the holy places, the places where he would go and meditate and everything. He finds the entire creation within the mouth of the small child. And he spends many, 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 many thousands of years inside the mouth of the small child, finally thinking that this is endless. And again he meditates and prays to the Supreme Lord. And he comes out of the mouth and finds himself in a similar situation of the cosmic dissolution, floating in the water. And he asks him, who are you? And he says that I am Narayan. I am the Supreme Lord Narayan. He gets that information. And Markandeya Rishi concludes that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is the source of everything. He saw everything within the mouth of Krishna. Within the mouth of Narayan. Just like Yashoda had seen, Mother Yashoda had seen the entire universe, Brahmanda, within the mouth of Krishna. Markandeya also saw, not only saw, but he entered into the mouth and experienced the world within. Only to come out and again proclaim to the whole world that he was Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Markandeya, then when he comes and he tells Yudhishthir, Yudhishthir, what I saw that day, that small child, is none other than that personality who is standing beside you. And he points out to Krishna, he. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's telling Yudhishthir, don't doubt what I'm telling, maybe false, or maybe I have forgotten, even though it is millions of years ago. No, because I have been benedicted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that I will remember everything. And also I can die at my own free will. These two benedictions I have. I have a vivid memory of what I saw. And this person is the same person as a small child I saw him on the banyan tree leaf. Proclaiming that he is the Supreme Person who is standing beside you as your junior. So proclaiming that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here again Yudhishthir Maharaj is being reminded by Narada that Krishna is Supreme. So he was amazed. So generally when we take, you know, courses and things like that, the most difficult session is the session of Krishna is the Supreme. One God or many gods. And last time I took this session, one person at the end of the session, he comes to me and he says, you know, can I make a suggestion to you? So I said, yes, why not? So I was saying prasad and he was also taking prasad with me. He said, look, you know, there's a lot of controversy regarding who's Supreme, okay? So why do you all keep saying Krishna Supreme? Why don't you just keep everything as equal, you know? there will be no problems. Everyone is saying there's so much of fight going on in the society. Just don't speak about these things. You know, just let everyone be equal, okay? So that was his an honest feedback. But I told him that, you know, we can't change the Shastras for the convenience of people. It's an offense to actually say that the king and the soldier is the same. A king is a king and a soldier is a soldier. And I was just contemplating on this, on this point. And I came across a very nice verse from the Padma Puran. It is explained, Harir eva sadaradhyah sarva deveshvareshvarah itare brahma rudradhyah navagneyah kadachana. It said, Sri Hari alone should be worshipped as a supreme master of the universe. Brahma, Shiva and all the demigods never violate this principle at any time. I was thinking in my mind, if Brahma and Shiva and all the demigods don't have a problem in accepting Krishna as supreme, then why we should have a problem in accepting Krishna as supreme? And here we can see Yudhishthir Maharaj also accepting this fact without any doubts that Krishna is the supreme. So, this is a very important principle one should remember. One should always be reminded of that how we have the highest and we are worshipping actually the supreme Lord. There's no controversy in that. Also, we can see in this episode that in this section, we have seen that Narada is telling Yudhishthir that Yudhishthir, you are so fortunate. In fact, after telling the entire pastime of Prahlad Maharaj to Yudhishthir, Narada is informing him that you are more advanced than Prahlad Maharaj. Yudhishthir is more advanced than Prahlad Maharaj. And Sridhar Swami Maharaj, Sridhar Swami, he explains in his purport to the Brihat Bhagavatamrit that Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna lived in the house of Yudhishthir Maharaj and constantly frequented his house. And not only that, all the great sages, knowing that Krishna is living in the house of Yudhishthir Maharaj, would come and personally visit him. And only that, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, personally took interest in all the affairs, personal affairs of the Pandavas, which he did not do for Prahlad. Because, you know, he just appeared, he killed Hiranyakashipu, and then he just left. And not only that, he was not in the personal Saumya form of the Supreme Lord. But that same Narsingadev is in his original form as Krishna, appearing in the house of Yudhishthir Maharaj and is moving around with him, mingling with his relatives and speaking and giving him advice. And not only that, in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayana, in the Gita, it is explained that how Krishna appears and the Partha Sarathi as actually the chariot driver of Arjuna. So we see that despite Yudhishthir Maharaj being so advanced, generally we hear of personalities who are more advanced than us, far, far light years ahead of us, and we take inspiration. But here is Yudhishthir Maharaj who is hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, who is actually in one sense, according to Narada's proclamation, that he is not as advanced as Yudhishthir, but still he is taking all the effort and all the great interest in hearing about the pastimes of Narada, of Prahlad. So here we see the great quality of Yudhishthir Maharaj, of extreme humility, which is a very important quality of a devotee, humility, that they do not consider themselves very advanced. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that when Krishna is informing Arjun about the divine and demonic natures, he's telling this is divine nature. Devi sampad vimokshaya nibandhaya suri mataha ma shuja sampadam devi apajato si bharata. He's telling these are the divine qualities, these are the demoniac qualities. And just thinking that maybe Arjuna is having a doubt that I may be of, you know, demoniac quality. So Krishna is telling, don't fear Arjun, you are not of demoniac quality, you are of divine quality, you are having godly qualities. So we see that how Arjun was also so humble that he never considered himself having divine qualities. So this is a very important principle and very important quality and attitude of a devotee. And he considers himself very humble, very lowly, There is a pastime of Dhruva Maharaj when he was at the end of his life, when the Vaikuntha Viman came to take him, and he was just about to step on the Vaikuntha Viman. At that time, he seeked the blessings of all the assembled Brahmanas and the devotees and all this, you know, people present there, seeking blessings before he went back home, back to Godhead. So he could have thought, you know, that I am going back home, back to Godhead. You know, everyone should please take your last blessings from me before I appear and perfect your lives. Please come, I'm on my way back home, back to Godhead. He could have said like this. But no, he was considering himself as worthy of, you know, blessings, of taking blessings from others. So this is the quality of a devotee. So we find that here, how the Lord is so mercifully sending Yudhishthir Maharaj a guru. Narada came and informed Yudhishthir about the supreme knowledge, about the identity of Krishna. So this is the really, really wonderful arrangement of the Lord, that Lord always arranges for a devotee to be in knowledge. This is one of the greatest facilities that Krishna can make for the conditioned soul in this world. The facility to be informed about knowledge, about spiritual knowledge. We can see that when Dhritarashtra was in the house, Hastinapur, living with the Pandavas, Vidura came back. Krishna arranged for Vidura to come and inform Dhritarashtra. Why? Because he was an illusion. He was acting like a Grihamedi, like an attached householder. Extreme example of an attached householder, Dhritarashtra. So Vidur came and told him, what are you doing? You are blind from your birth and now you are becoming deaf also because of old age. And not only that, when you are coughing, you are, you know, there's a lot of music is coming out. And you are living in someone else's house. It is not your house. You are living in the Pandava's house. And you are just like a dog. Just like a dog who's feeding on food given by someone else. You are eating the food given by Bhim, whom you tried to kill personally. Just see, what a shame. What a shame that you are living in the house of someone else. You are a Kshatriya. She was insulting him, using all the tactics to make him detached from that condition where he was living. Trying to inspire him to get out of that place and go into the forest and engage in self-realization. And he was telling that those people who go to the forest and die anonymously at the time of old age is actually a very learned person. This is the path of learned people, that they, at the right time, anonymously they go into the forest, practice self-realization, God consciousness, and give up their bodies. No one knows also where they died. This is the path of proper conduct of a civilized human being. So Vidur explained this to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra immediately, he became convinced of his position and he left the place. So this is actually the mercy of the Lord, that the Lord arranges for a great saint or a spiritual master or the devotees to come and explain. Even though here we can find that Narada is coming and telling Yudhishthir a very palatable truth, that you are so advanced, a form of instruction which is very palatable to us, but not always the instruction could be palatable. It may be harsh in this case, as we see in Vidura, you know, being explaining the science of self-realization in a very harsh way, apparently very, very mean. It may seem very mean and cruel for anyone to speak like this to one's own relative. But actually it is explained that this is how is actually true compassion, true mercy. True mercy means that to tell the truth, to re-establish that person back in his connection with Krishna. That is real mercy. It may come in a harsh form also sometimes, but one should not think that, this is not good. And one should not criticize. Like Gaura Govind Maharaj once in a lecture, he was telling, you know, so what is Guru's mercy? What is Guru's mercy? And then one of his disciples was sitting and then he's patting his head. He says, so very nice, yeah, very nice, yeah, very nice. So do you think this is Guru's mercy? Huh? And he says, no, this is not Guru's mercy. Then he takes a stick and he bangs on his head. Tak, 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 tak. He said, this is Guru's mercy. This is Guru's mercy. So he was telling like this, that Guru's mercy can come in various forms. And when the Guru, when the spiritual master chastises, then one should not feel bad. One should not criticize him saying that, okay, what is this? Your Guru is telling like this to me, like that. So the thing is that the mercy may come in different form. And he is actually truly our well-wisher. The spiritual master, in this case we can see Narada, or in the other case we can see Vidura, who even though apparently harsh to Dhritarashtra, but is actually instructing him nicely on the path of Krishna consciousness. Again we can see that when Yudhishthir fell into so-called material compassion for Dhritarashtra, because he was feeling, he was lamenting, oh, where is my uncle, where is my blind uncle, and where is Gandhari, my mother, who took care of me all the while since my childhood, where are they, they are not to be seen in the kingdom. At that time Krishna sends Narada again to instruct him, don't worry, he's in good hands, Krishna is taking care of him, he's in very soon going to achieve self-realization and he will achieve perfection, like that. So again Krishna sends Narada, the Supreme Lord sends Narada to instruct Yudhishthir. So similarly, what we can learn from this is that we all have been blessed by the opportunity to receive that spiritual knowledge. This is the best facility which can ever be made in this material world, the arrangement to get out of this material world by hearing the message of Krishna consciousness. It is so important, because here we can see Yudhishthir Maharaj was so advanced. In the Brihat Bhagavat Amrit, it is explained that Yudhishthir Maharaj is higher than Prahlad and even Narada. But he is taking the opportunity to hear from Narada about Prahlad. In one sense, both were not as advanced as him. And Brihat Bhagavat Amrit goes on to explain that, of course, above Yudhishthir and the Pandavas were the Yadavas. And amongst the Yadavas is Uddhav. Like that. So the thing is that, who is a true well-wisher? He is the person who tells us about Krishna consciousness, tells us to cut our material attachments. Sadhu means to cut. And in fact, that is true relationship. That is real family life, where you have someone to inform you about Krishna, someone who is serving Krishna and engaging you in Krishna's service. Like, just recently, there was this wonderful devotee, Bhaktivedanta Bhagavat Maharaj, who came. He was giving a lecture. And he was revealing a very wonderful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. He was telling that once Srila Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples in one of the temples. And he was telling that, sometimes I think about my children. Now Srila Prabhupada was a sannyasi. And he's saying that sometimes I think about my children. And he said, and sometimes I think about my wife also. But he said, but the difference between me and you is that I don't act upon it, but you act upon it, what you think. So ignore your mind, that's the nature of the mind. Mind will have various things, but don't act upon it. So he was telling his disciples that, thoughts of sense gratification may come in your mind, but don't act upon it. So he was giving instruction. A guru giving a very wonderful instruction to his disciples. And he was telling that, I felt that this is an instruction for me, because when I were to become a sannyasi, I would cherish these wonderful words of wisdom spoken by my spiritual master. And he said that how once Srila Prabhupada was visited by his son. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, no, but you can't live here. He told his son, no, but you cannot live here. You can't live in the ashram. You can't live in ISKCON. You can't. His own son, he was telling him like that. So disciples were seeing, what is Prabhupada? How he is dealing with his relatives? But eventually he saw that his son was becoming very serious in Krishna's service. He was chanting Hare Krishna. He was regularly associating with devotees and everything. And then Srila Prabhupada took him seriously and started giving him more service. And went to the point of giving him the exclusive rights of distributing his books to all the libraries all over India. Exclusive right. Not even his disciples could distribute the books to the libraries, but his son had to do it. So Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that what is the relationship of, what is true relationship? What is true family life? Because material relationships are temporary. Vidura is explaining to Dhritarashtra, just like a small child is playing a game, you know, sometimes he plays a game, he brings a doll, he brings a car, and he brings all these different things together and starts playing with it. And after the game is over, he takes all the toys and throws it away in different places. So similarly, in the hands of the Supreme Lord, we are just like toys. Members of the family may come together, live with each other for some time, and then when the game is over, Krishna, the Lord just disperses the family members, never to be seen again. So this is material life where the family members don't actually stay with each other for long, because that relationship is not spiritual, it is temporary. But spiritual life, spiritual family life is eternal family life, where the relationships are based on service and love. Relationships are based on Krishna consciousness. And here Srila Prabhupada is actually demonstrating in his own life that what even your own relative is not as important as my disciples and my God brothers and my spiritual relationships. Similarly, an incident took place with Gaur Govind Maharaj. Gaur Govind Maharaj was visited by his son. And he wanted to live. He said, "Father, I want to stay in your ashram. Father, keep me with you, keep me with you." He said, "No, you can't live in the ashram. You can't. Just go back. Go to your mother." It was very heavy. Go to your mother. And then Bhaktivedanta Bhagavat Maharaj was there at that time. He says, "Maharaj, why are you doing like this? Engage him in Krishna's service. Even Prabhupada did it. He engaged his son in Krishna's service. You should also do that." So then Gaur Govind Maharaj looked at him and he said, "So who's going to take care of him in the ashram?" "So I will take care." "Okay, from today onwards, he's your son. Take care of him. You can take him in the ashram." So that way he was also engaged in Krishna's service. So he demonstrated what is real relationship. Real relationship means Krishna is the center. And Krishna is the center. And that is a very important principle where there is service. So, you know, there is a pastime of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj had one of followers, a young man who came to live with him. And he lived with Gaur Kishordas Maharaj for some time. And after that he left. He wanted to get married or something. So he got married. And then he came with his wife. He came with his girl and... "Maharaj, see, Krishna Dasi. Give her your blessings." So Gaur Kishordas Babaji, who's known for his cutting words, he said, "Oh, so you think he's Krishna Dasi, huh? Very nice, huh? So now you serve her, huh? You serve her and cook nicely for her and take good care of her and everything. Huh? Don't think of enjoying her, serve her." And then he got so frightened that he left immediately. Because he understood that Gaur Kishordas Babaji actually saw through the superficiality of his statement saying that Krishna Dasi. It's a big thing to say that someone is Krishna Dasi or Krishna Das. But Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said that actually real relationship means, real family life means to see each other as Krishna Das and Krishna Dasi. And service, mutual service. There's no question of sense gratification, mutual sense gratification. So this is true relationship, true family life. This is the real family life. And this is the eternal family life. Because ultimately we have to leave, isn't it? The question is which family life we want to join, an eternal or the temporary. So this is what it is. Srila Prabhupada, when he was going, many times, you know, his disciples would say, once Srila Prabhupada was walking and he saw some people watching television. And tears came down his eyes. And he said, "Just see these people. They are wasting their life watching television. Think how we can deliver these people. Think of a way by which we can deliver Krishna consciousness to these people." And he said, this is the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Always of a person, how he sees that how he can deliver this message and deliver people from the bondage of ignorance. Now watching television, Srila Prabhupada says, "What is this?" He became very, very disturbed. So therefore, what is required is to actually deliver the message, but at the same time, as it is explained here, that Yudhishthira Maharaj was extremely humble. This quality is a very important principle of actually a preacher. So only then one can actually be a successful preacher. If a person is not humble, he cannot preach. It is impossible for him to preach. So when Srila Prabhupada, therefore many of the disciples say about Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, when he said, you chant Hare Krishna, he didn't say out of false ego. He said it out of extreme humility. Not that, chant Hare Krishna because I am telling. Not like that. So he said it out of humility. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please, out of zero false ego. There was no false ego, absolutely. Just like Lord Nityananda, when he was requesting people to chant, Abhimanya Shunya Nitai Nagare Bedai. That he was Abhimanya Shunya. His Abhiman was completely zero. He was having no Abhiman, absolutely. No false ego, absolutely. And only because of that, he could convince Jagai and Madhai. Lord Nityanand convinced Jagai and Madhai and converted them to Vaishnavism only because of his humility. Because if Nityanand would have taken the offense of Jagai and Madhai seriously, he could have never gone back. In fact, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took out his Sudarshan disc, he would have removed his plow and smashed the heads of Jagai and Madhai. He did not have to wait for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come up with his Sudarshan Chakra, because he also has his plow as Balaram. And he has done more, you know, he has demonstrated how angry he was as Balaram when he appeared in this world. So, by his humility, he converted the offense of Jagai into Sukriti. When Madhai said that, don't hit him, he's a sadhu. So he immediately reported to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a saint. He actually preached, you know, he stopped him from hitting another blow on my head. Just see, he's a saint. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so pleased and he said, so you should have love of God. And he got. So the thing is, important principle is only when a person is having no ego, can a person actually give the message without any hindrances to people. So this is a very important principle. You know, there's a story of this sadhu, he goes for begging. And he goes from house to house. And there is a lady who was very miserly. She would never give anything. So this sadhu, he said, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. Kuch de do, kuch de do. And this lady, she's saying, get out from here. You mendicant, you beggar, coming and disturbing me. Get out. So he said, Radhe Govinda, and he went away. So after some time, the sadhu came back again next day and he said, Kuch de do, give me something, give me some charity. So lady said, you foolish man, you can't hear or what? I'm telling you, get out, don't waste my time. Every day you're coming and begging from here, get out. Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, again he went. Third day again he came. This lady was outraged. She said, what is this? What a shameless person. Every day he comes, he begs and I'll teach him a lesson. So she takes an old rag, which is used for cleaning the floor, and he says, and throws it on his face. Tear, take, you want? Falls on his face, sadhu. And he sees that rag of cloth, and he says, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. And he goes out. And he takes the cloth, washes it, cuts the pieces of cloth, and makes wicks out of it, and offers it to the Lord. And she gets the benefit out of it. She gets Sukriti. It's as if like she gave, and the Lord saw it, that this rendered service. She offered wicks to me. So, again, the fourth day he goes, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. And this lady's heart is completely changed. Says, you are not an ordinary man. You are a saint. Only a saint can come back so many times after being humiliated so much. What do you want? You want, here, take. He gives him charity and her spiritual life begins. So only when a person is truly humble can a person be an effective preacher. So here we can see that in this episode, that what is required is extreme humility. And only then one can convert an offense of the devotee, of the people, into Sukriti and service. Otherwise it is just impossible to engage people in Krishna service. Because what people will see first is what? Whether you are following or not. Are you humble or not? Are you embodying the teachings of the Shastras or not? That is what they will see. Like, for example, you know, there is a story. There was one man, the in charge of the house, and he was once going to the market to sell his articles. So on the way, he sits under a tree. And he wanted to take rest before he reaches the village for making the selling and things like that. So immediately he doesn't like his, you know, his family members to sit idle. So he sends them, okay, you go and do this, you go get this, you get this. And immediately allocates a lot of services for his family members. And immediately they get to work. Then he tells his son that go get me some coir, you know, coir, coconut thing, that coir. Go, I want to make some ropes. Son gets him that and then he starts making the ropes. So on the tree, under the tree, which he was sitting, that tree was inhabited by a yaksha. And that yaksha, seeing this man making something, he comes down and he says, "Whoa, what are you doing?" So this man, seeing this huge, gigantic yaksha, he becomes frightened and he says, he pretends that he's not afraid and he says, "I'm making a rope. Can't you see? I'm making a rope." So this yaksha says, "Why are you making a rope?" So he says, "To tie you up." So yaksha says, "You're going to tie me up? Oh, please don't tie me up. Don't tie me up. I will give you whatever you want. I will make you a rich man." And immediately he goes and fetches one chest of treasure and comes and gives it to him. "Please, here, take this money, gold and diamonds and everything. But don't please tie me up." He says, all right, go, go. I will not tie you up." He gets so much of money, he says, "Forget about going to the village and selling the articles. Let's go back home. We are rich men. Even our descendants don't have to do any business anymore." Goes back with a lot of wealth. And his neighbor asks him, "Are you have become a wealthy man in such a short time. How did you get this?" So he said, "You know, this thing happened. I sat under a tree and yaksha came and blah, 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 blah." And very good. So he also plans he'll do the same thing. He also goes with his relatives. Same thing happens. And sits under the tree and immediately tells his relatives, "Okay, you know, do this, do this, do this." And his relatives would not obey him. They were all like, you know, he was not serious about anything and his family members were also not serious about anything. So they just took him casually and they were just sitting around, spacing out, and says, "Hey, why are you not working? Just go do something." And then he says, "Okay, my son, get me thread, get me some coir." And then he pretends to be making the rope. So the yaksha sitting on the top of the tree sees, "Oh, this man is there. What is he doing?" So he comes down and he says, "What are you doing, my dear sir?" So you look, "Oh, yaksha has come. Good." So he says, "Can't you see I'm making a rope?" So he says, "What for, my dear sir?" He says, "To tie you up. Now you make sure that you quickly get the chest of treasure. Otherwise, I'm going to tie you up." So the yaksha says, "Well, you know, why should I be afraid of you? Your own family members are not afraid of you. Why should I be afraid of you?" "So I'm going back to my tree and goodbye to you." So the thing is that, you know, the very essential quality is of Abhimana Shunya, is that we embody the principles, or at least we try to embody the principle of a preacher, of the ideal preacher, that is Nityanand Prabhu, who actually delivered the message of Krishna consciousness to Jagan Madhai. Hare Krishna. So here we can see this very important quality even in Yudhishthir Maharaj, that despite being so advanced, that he was so, in a humble way, listening to the instructions of Narada. Hare Krishna. So any questions, any comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.